Okay, Psalm 1. If you're going to start somewhere, you might as well start at 1, I say. And it's very interesting, this psalm. Now, this psalm is part of what we call wisdom literature in the Bible. Now, wisdom literature is literature that offers the reader a choice over the best way to live life well. Wisdom for living, if you like. Wisdom for living. And it's a choice that's presented to everyone. And the choice is this. Do you want to follow God and enjoy his presence and help in your life? Or do you choose not to follow God and forfeit that help and resource and presence in your life? Sounds a bit of a no-brainer, doesn't it, as they say in school nowadays? Would you want to go through life without God's help and his blessing? Well, I wouldn't. But sometimes we act as if we're prepared to, don't we? But anyway, here the psalmist contrasts two lifestyles, okay? Godliness versus godlessness, or wickedness, if you like, and sinfulness. Don't worry, I'm not pointing at you guys. Just contrast. Now, wisdom literature in the Bible shows that life with and in God will enjoy all the help and the blessing God can give to his children. Whereas a life outside of God and separate from God will not enjoy those helps from God. It's as simple as that. So our psalmist is encouraging us to see the blessedness of godliness. What I mean by that, that the psalmist is wanting us to see the benefits and blessings of having a relationship with God and following God's ways. And this blessing, or these helps from God that the writer is talking about, is for the present lived experience as well as the future promises of God, the fulfillment of those future promises of God, that we will go in Christ, that we will go to be with God in heaven when we die. So our psalmist is kind of saying, you want to be blessed and you want to be helped by God in this life, then read on. Read on, and that's what we're going to do. But the psalmist is implying it's your choice. It's your and my choice. It's within your and my control as to whether we are faithful to God and follow God or go the way of sin and wickedness. It's our choice whether we receive the help and blessing from God in our lives or we don't. So, let's look at verse 1, shall we, of our psalm. It says this, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. So what the psalmist is saying, that the person will be blessed by God who does not habitually sin, but also goes further than that and keeps well away from the evil and sin practiced by others. He refers to those others as the wicked, sinners, and God mockers. That's what that word mockers means, God mockers. And not only that, but he says, the blessed are the ones that avoid the company of these people, and they do it at all times and in every way. As we say in modern parlance, 24/7. Yeah? Because he refers to sitting, walking, and standing. The activities that we do during every day. We sit, we stand, and we walk. So in verse 2, the psalmist says the person who will be blessed by God is the person who delights also in God's teachings and rules for life. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. And this is not just Old Testament law, but it's in a wider sense. It includes Jesus' teachings and all of Scripture, our Old and New Testaments. And this blessed person is someone who gets familiar with and reflects upon God's word. And that word meditates in the Hebrew implies muttering, verbal muttering of God's word. It's got that sense of someone who doesn't necessarily read, is able to read, so has to learn by memorizing bits of scripture, if you like, and mutters them out loud. So it's that sense in the Hebrew. Getting familiar with God's teachings and his words. And then in the next four verses, verses 3-6, the same thing is put across by the psalmist. The same blessing given by God to the faithful believers is shown in four different ways. Okay? Now, first off, the person who will receive the blessing and kindness and help from God is described in verse 3. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So, they will be like a tree continually fed with water, with the water that's needed for longer and sustained life. They will be like a tree, says the psalmist, that keeps going season after season after season and does not wither, fail, and die. The psalmist says that person will prosper, i.e., over time they will build up the blessings of God in their life. So that's firstly. And then the psalmist says, secondly, and in contrast, the wicked, godless person's life looks different. Looks like this. Verse 4, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Now, my mum and dad lived in the rough part of Sheffield. And you know these northern cities, the rough parts, they are rough. But they weren't rough, they were lovely. And we always had the same Christmas tree each year, and it had stayed with the family for, you know, donkey's years, decades and decades. So it was a scraggy old thing. But we always had very nice tinsel-y things on it. Long, silvery, tinsel-y things. And just before my dad died, I asked him, I said, Dad, you must have been decorating the tree. So I said, where did you get this sort of straight, silvery-looking stuff? We've always put it on, he said. It's chaff. So what do you mean? He said, it's from the Blitz. It's what they dropped from the planes. And we just collected it all up and thought it would be good to use it for Christmas decorations. So I guess it's German. It would have been German aluminium chaff that they'd have chucked out of planes to try and distract the whatever. But it blew all over that part of Sheffield, and so people just collected it up and did whatever. And mum and dad thought it was a good idea to use it as tinsel on Christmas tree. But the psalmist says, not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away, i.e. they will not last. They will not sustain and endure in life, says our psalmist. That's the wicked. And thirdly, he says, because the godless won't sustain and last, they won't be able to stand in judgment, because that happens at the end. Verse 5. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. The psalmist, in a kind of ironical way, is saying, in a sense, they won't be around to judge you, because literally they won't last. They won't sustain. They won't endure. And then finally, in verse 6, the psalmist says this. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. The psalmist uses a Hebrew word again with a deeper meaning when he says, you know, God watches over the way of the righteous. It's a word meaning an intimate, loving, knowing relationship with us from God. So rephrasing it is to say that God intimately knows the way or path of the righteous in their life. God, who cares for us and loves us intimately, knows what is coming up in our path of life. But what is coming up in the path of the ungodly is all bad news. So, what the psalmist is saying in a general way here in his psalm is that there's a sense of longevity or sustaining to the Christian's life. A general sense that God wishes to bless and give help and sustain the person that commits and follows God's rules in this life. God wants to sustain the believer. Now, before you get all antsy with me, quite rightly, and say, hold on, Pastor, are you saying that God promises every Christian that they'll get to 99 and they'll just tick over to 100 and they'll fall asleep nicely in the bed at night? No, I'm not. Okay? I'm not saying that from this psalm. I'm not saying become a Christian and get a long life on earth. No, I'm not saying that. You know, there are no hard and fast guarantees in a life of faith. Many factors play a part in the fortunes of our lives. You see, don't forget that faith is essentially trust. And trust is only relevant when God has to be trusted, i.e. through the trials and the sufferings of life, the rubbish that happens to us in our lives. And don't forget, as Christians, we identify with a suffering Saviour. So we should not be surprised that our life is littered with sufferings and trials and rubbish, because it will be, because we are Christians. We are Christ's. And much of the promise of God for sustaining or a sense of longevity is based on our eternal security in Christ when we die. But think about it in a practical sense. it makes logical sense for the psalmist to talk about longevity or sustaining in the context of a Christian's earthly life. Why do I say that? Well, it's quite simply this. If you've got God helping you in this life and blessing you in this life, and maybe even healing you and watching over you, you've got a better chance at a longer and a full life than if you've got God's hand against you, not providing those things, haven't you? I wouldn't like to go through life without God's help. I've got that many things wrong with me that without God, I would have been a goner a long time ago. And personally, I know so many Christians, believers with conditions that would have, as I said, would have nobbled them years before, but who are sustained by God into advanced years. But what I want to say to you this morning from this psalm, what I want to specifically share with you this morning is this. You know, to enjoy any sense of ongoing or long-term blessing and provision, care and sustaining from God, we have to keep going and work through all the trials and difficulties in life that we will have. You're going to get more difficulties in your life than Joe Bloggs down the street. Because you're Christ's. And he was a suffering saviour. Don't be anguished when awful things happen to you and difficult things happen to you, thinking that somehow, what's gone wrong, Father? What's gone wrong with my life of faith? Why aren't you helping me? Why aren't you healing me? You're not promised wealth and health and prosperity because you are Christ's and Christ suffered. But what God does say to you and me is that we have to keep going. We have to learn to cope with our trials and difficulties. And he will sustain and he will put his helps into our life. And he will enable us to endure. And we shouldn't just expect God to fix everything in our lives. Just like that. The old Harry Potter wand. I know we want that. We all want it. God, just fix this situation. Heal me. Heal so-and-so. Just fix it. You know, as a pastor and as a NHS chaplain, so much of Christian pastoral care is not about fixing situations. Because God often doesn't do that. It's helping people to cope and get through and sustain until the trial is over. So my word to us this morning, as we close, is the same as it was to Joseph and the kids. We have to understand how important to life with and in God is the idea of coping and sustaining and getting through. Getting up in the morning, getting through whatever you face, and still be standing at evening when it's time to go to bed. Tomorrow's a new day. With all the helps and the sustaining that God promises us each and every new day. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to take that suffering away from us. We have to endure, we have to keep going. It's this idea of coping and sustaining, getting through and being patient, all with God's help. Just listen to these scriptures. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 to 10. The author says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. And another psalmist says in Psalm 41, verse 11, I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. Because of my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. And finally, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So that you can endure it. Let me pray.